there, storytellers. It's me, Brittany Elizabeth Murray, and I've got to be honest. I am pregnant with baby number 6. Also, I work full-time outside the home, and the other 5 kids, they have to go to daycare, which is becoming quite expensive. Now, I'm trying to take this podcast to the next level, okay? And I need your help. I can't do this by myself. So the way you can help me is by submitting a donation to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. So by the time this baby number 6 is born, I'll be able to reach my goal of becoming a stay-at-home mom that works full-time. My goal in life, my largest goal, is to be able to cultivate other storytellers. Welcome to Lesson 2, Parts of a Story. In this episode, you'll learn about the characters, the setting, the plot, problem, and solution. We'll also walk through the sequencing of a great story, as well as dig deep into a vivid example of an actual story and sequence it together. Last week, we unveiled a few elements that make a great story, and those were problem and solution. Now, today we're going to talk about problem and solution again, but not as in depth, because I feel like you understand that. As a matter of fact, the parts of a story are very, very elementary. These are things that you learn when you first learn how to write a story, how to discover stories in books. It's a part of the reading and writing process in elementary school. So with that being said, one of our first parts of a story is characters. Characters are the people or the things that have voices, okay? People or things that have voices. So you could have a bottle of ketchup and an inanimate object become personified and speak. You can give it a voice. So within a story, if you have people or if you have things that have a voice, they are always carrying a message. They are either speaking to one another or speaking to the audience. The next part of a story we're going to talk about is the setting. The setting is where and when the story takes place. Both of those pieces are important. Where and when the story takes place. Where, as in, is the story indoors? Is it outdoors? Is it in a gymnasium? Is it at a concert hall? Where does this story take place? And when is more so talking about the time period. Not necessarily 1800s or 2019, but it can be talking about that. But it means, is it happening in the morning? Is it happening in the afternoon, at night, at lunchtime? Okay. Another part of a story that we're going to talk about is plot. Now, plot is trifold. It's pretty beefy. It's got layers to it because the plot is actually what you remember probably in elementary school being referred to as beginning, middle, and end. So it was very simple. The plot is what happens at the very beginning of the story, what happens in the middle of the story, and what happens at the end. Now, as we've gotten a little older, going through middle school, high school, and even college, beginning, middle, and end may not necessarily be what those elements of a plot is called. For example, the beginning of a story may still be called the beginning of a story, but the middle is usually called the climax, and the end is usually called the conclusion. And now that I think about it, the beginning is actually usually called the introduction when we go higher in education. So introduction, climax, and conclusion. Introduction, climax, and conclusion. And it's the same thing as beginning, middle, and end. I just decided to use those particular terms because they're very, very simple. And I don't want to speak over your head, which I don't think I will, because all of this is very, very simple elementary basics. And we'll get deeper and deeper as the months go by. Now, let's touch a little bit on problem and solution. Problem is self-explanatory. A problem is something that is getting in the way to one's pursuit of finding clarity. Okay? It's just a problem is something that gets in one's way as they pursue clarity. A solution is the actual thing that helps a person or a thing solve its problem.
That simple, cut and dry. Next, we're actually going to look at the sequencing of a story, how all these elements work together, how they move together, what happens first and what happens next when you're actually sequencing, when you're writing the story, not what actually happens in a story, because we just talked about plot, beginning, middle, and end. So we're going to talk about sequencing next. All right, now that we've discovered the different parts of a story, let's look at how a story is sequenced together when a writer or a storyteller is putting it together to share with an audience. So something I remember when I was growing up in elementary school was the story map. The story map had different elements of a story or different parts of a story in different blocks where you could fill in the information if you were analyzing a story. So if you were analyzing the Three Little Bears, there would be a block for the title, a block for the characters, a block for the setting, a block for problem and solution, and a block for the plot. So same difference, except we're going to actually put it in order based on a formula I've come up with over the years as I've analyzed stories and I've written stories. So the first thing in our story map is going to be the plot, but only one part of the plot. Remember, the plot is trifold. So we're going to look at the beginning or the introduction of a story. That's the first layer to the story map. So this is what is happening first. What is actually happening first? Okay. The next piece or the next layer to our story map is the setting. So we just talked about what's happening in the story first, but we need to know where and when this story is taking place. Next is the characters. So we need the voices who are going to relay the message of this story. We need to know who they are, what they look like, how old they are, all the details about who they are so we can identify them within the story. After the characters, we're going to delve into the problem. Now that we know the characters, we can identify, do you guys remember the protagonist and antagonist? In those characters, we can identify the protagonist and the antagonist, whether there's several of each, and figure out the protagonist problem. The problem is always the protagonist issue. After the problem, we hit the climax. This is another part of the plot, or you can call it the middle of the story. So now we're reevaluating and we're like, what is happening in the middle? What's happening in the middle? We need to know this. And then solution comes right after climax because we've hit this high peak of our problem getting to its worst or our problem getting to its last leg of how it can trouble us. And that's where the solution comes in, where we find clarity. And then you have the last part of the plot, which is the end or the conclusion. And that wraps up your story. Now, what I would like to say is when we are going through this story map, this isn't necessarily the full sequence of a story because your story might be a novel. It might be autobiography. It might be a stage play or a screenplay. But these elements in this particular order, giving the audience this information in this particular order, is going to make a good story. Now, the way it's laid out from what I've just explained is the beginning, the setting, the characters, the problem, the middle of the story or the climax, the solution, and the end of the story or the conclusion. Now, within your actual story writing or your storytelling, you will speak about different settings of the story. You won't just talk about it one time, as I just said. You will have several different characters that need to be introduced, so they will kind of play a part in and out of the story. And the problem and the solution are big. Now, there will be several different problems and solutions, but you need to be able to highlight the biggest, most profound problem and solution within your story and not make it confusing. for your audience. I hope this is making sense, but if not, next we're going to talk about an actual story. We're going to look at a real story and we're going to sequence it together. So that way you have a vivid example of what I'm trying to say. We've arrived to the final section of lesson two, parts of a story. Now, here we are going to analyze a real story and we're going to sequence it together so you have a better understanding of what the section previous to this was about. So our story is Jack and Jill. Now, this is a nursery rhyme and a poem, but it's still a story. So I'm going to recite this story and then we're going to sequence it together. All right. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. So my question to you is, what happens at the very beginning of this story? What happens at the very beginning of this story? Within the first stanza, the first line says, Jack and Jill went up the hill. Okay, we don't have enough information to know what they were doing before they went up the hill. We don't know if their mom sent them to get some water from the well and the water well was up the hill. All we know is what we see or what we hear, and that is Jack and Jill went up the hill. So the beginning of the story is Jack and Jill traveling up the hill. All right. The setting of this story, we have to go by the information given. We cannot make assumptions if the story has already been written and recorded. So the setting is outdoors. We don't know if it's daylight. We don't know if it's nighttime. We don't know if it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. We can make an assumption based on illustrations, depending on what version we're reading. But we have to go by the information given if the story is already recorded. So the setting is outdoors. Now, let's look at the characters. The only characters that I've been able to see and hear are Jack and Jill. Now, if the pail of water were to talk in this story, then we could deem that a character, but we don't have that information. The story does not say that the pail of water talks. The story doesn't say the hill or the grass talk. We don't even know if it's grass. We don't know what type of hill it is. We have to use the information given in the story if it's already recorded. So our characters in this story are Jack and who? That's right, Jill. So next is our problem. This is a little tricky because it sounds like they have several problems going on in this story. So we know that Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. So, I would say that their problem is they needed water for whatever reason. Like I say, it could have been their mom needed some water to boil some potatoes, or it could be that they need water for a bath. We don't know because we have not been given that information, but we do know that they went to get some water, so it was a need. But then what makes it tricky is Jack fell down and broke his crown and Jill came tumbling after. That sounds like a problem. But let's go ahead and get to the climax, which is also the plot called the middle of the story. So I think I just spoke the climax. Jack fell down and broke his crown and Jill came tumbling after. Jack fell down and broke his crown and Jill came tumbling after. This literally is a vivid illustration of a story map, this particular story, because they literally go up a hill to fetch a pail of water and they come tumbling down the hill together. And that's what happens in the story. It's a rise and a fall. So you're going up a hill in a story, you hit the peak, which is the very top of the story, or a hill or mountain, and then you come down. So climax in this story is Jack fell down and broke his crown and Jill came tumbling after. The thing is, if this story is being heard and not seen, you don't necessarily know what it means when Jack fell down and broke his crown. We don't know if that means that he fell down the hill. It does not say Jack fell down the hill and broke his crown. It says Jack fell down and broke his crown. He could have just fell up the hill. People are clumsy. People fall upstairs all the time. It says Jill came tumbling after. We don't know if she fell up the hill. We don't know if she fell down the hill. But if you're looking at a vivid illustration, you do see them tumbling down the hill. That's the information given, so it can be used as viable evidence. Now, the solution in this particular story is quite difficult and one I haven't really analyzed well, because it just seems like they just have problem, which would mean this isn't a good story. And we can't say it's not a good story because this is a Mother Goose classic. This is a nursery rhyme and a poem. So I'd have to say that the solution to this particular story is that they got down the hill together. They made it back down the hill. If we're looking at a vivid illustration, we know that they come back down the hill. If we're hearing this story, we make assumptions thinking they're coming down the hill, but we don't really know. We don't know if they fell down the hill or if they just kind of fell while they were going up the hill and never got the water. But the solution is that they came back down the hill together. Jack wasn't lost and Jill wasn't lost. They stayed together the entire time. Now, did they get that pail of water? We don't know, because we don't have the evidence. And we cannot assume unless we have the information. So the last part of sequencing this story, Jack and Jill, is the end, which is the last portion of the plot. The end is also called the conclusion. And it's pretty self-explanatory. They fall or they tumble or they come down the hill or they fall together, depending on how you look at it. It's kind of going hand in hand with the solution. The solution, again, was them being able to leave the setting together, which was the hill, or not necessarily the hill, but that's more of like where they were going. So they were able to leave that particular part of the setting together. They did not separate from one another. That was the solution. But the end is they come down the hill or they do not get the pail of water. That's the end of the story. We don't know anything else besides that. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down. Assumption is he fell down the hill, or maybe he fell down on the hill. He broke his crown while he was falling down the hill or falling on the hill, and Jill came tumbling after. That's where the story ends. So that's the legitimate end. Okay. Now, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this episode and to glean from my teaching. I have something for you. If you follow the link in the description, you will receive a free printable of a story map that you can take and you can print and fill in. You can take an example from any story that you'd like to be able to analyze and sequence, or you can use this in your brainstorming process of writing your own story, whether it be a stage play, a novel, a screenplay, a poem. This particular story map will work. And it's in the exact order that we talked about in lesson 2.